was going on. Well, I've been thinking about it this week, and this is my illustration, just an illustrated message. So sometimes illustrations take a lot. So what I'd like to do is I'd like to have everyone come and stand around the table and just get behind your chair like this. And I mean everyone can come and stand, and we're going to pray. Because we're going to have our lesson at the table. So it doesn't matter where you're sitting. There's lots of seats on this side also. Everybody's by a chair where you can pull your chair out after we pray and you'll be able to sit down. And what we'll do is there may be a few other folks come in after, and we'll just give us, you know, whatever seats we have left. I think I set 40. It's hard to tell on Thursday nights, but here we are. Now, the big thing that we've been talking about and looking at is wanting to know or get to the truth. And one of the things that the Lord dealt with me concerning this is that you and I need to come to realize that there might be a lot of things that we have done and are still doing that we need to look at. And I think the biggest mistake in our lives is if we're not willing to check ourselves. And so here's one of the things. So what I'd like to do, we're just going to pray and thank God for his goodness. We're going to give him all the glory and praise because he deserves all the praise. He deserves all the glory and the honor. And we ought to be so thankful. This is a time where we can lift up the Lord and honor him and thank him and do it together as a family. And there's a lot of things that goes on as families at this time of the year, but it's nothing to celebrate God. It doesn't celebrate the Messiah at all. And that's disheartening that we live in a world today that have been given such grace. And that's what I believe that we have been given, lots of it. I've been given lots of it. He's graced me many times with my faults and failures and just laziness. And one of the biggest lazy things that I think has happened is our willingness to set aside of our ideas and traditions and go back to the Word of God. Go back to what he said and look at it, carefully look at it and examine the Scripture as the Bereans did. They examined the Scriptures daily. You ever thought about that? When's the last time I did that? Examine the Scriptures daily to see if what we're doing is what we're supposed to be doing. And that's something that's important. So I've been dealing with this on last couple Thursday nights and Sunday morning. And tonight, I know a lot of you are shocked. You come here and say, what in the world's going on with this table? But I can't sleep at night. I see these things, and this is what the Lord reminded me of. Before I pray, I want you to listen to this. In the prophecy, and I go over it all the time, he said, the enemy that pursued you up to today, after today, you will see them no more. And I've been going over that, and I was like, God, what does that mean? You know, what are you trying to tell me? And there's something about today that is going to change. It's powerful. I've been crying over this, weeping over it before the Lord. After today, you will see them no more. And it's, how many want God to move for you like you've never seen before? I'm talking about where it just starts blowing your mind. You go, wow. And then listen, you don't have to go out and ring no bells. We don't have to stand on the street corner and cry out. Folks will know that what just happened had to be God. You can't explain it no other way. God was involved in that. And that's what happened when they got to the river, the seas, this big lake, this open body of water that we're all familiar with. All of us, we're familiar with that stuff, you know. And then God says, watch. You watch what I'm going to do. I want to ask you this question. Is he the same God? Is that the one that we get up on Sunday morning and come here to worship? Is that the same God? Or have we reduced him down by traditions of man to be something else? He's just nothing more than a hospital worker. We get an ailment and we go to God and he's supposed to fix it for us. I'm talking about the Almighty God who put everything in its place for a very important reason. And I'm telling you, as I said Sunday, we have drifted. We have drifted. And we want to get it back on track. How many want to get it back on track? So here we are. So we're going to pray. Those of you that are just coming in, come find your, stand behind it. Brother Marcel, you can come back here. Just find a, stand behind a chair. Find you a chair and just stand behind it. Make sure we fill all the gaps in there. There's some more room on this side. Thank you, Lord. We want to honor the Lord and thank him. We ought to appreciate him. My heart has been so heavy over this. I want to hear it, say this again. Listen to it careful. The enemy that has pursued you up to today, after today, you will see them no more. And in that day, what God was doing was revealing himself in a way, and he'd already shown them miracle after miracle after miracle. But what God was doing was more and more and more, and it was absolutely incredible. So I want you to think about that. So what sets before us, we're going to take some time. And we're going to just in fellowship with one another. And we're going to realize what we're doing. We're going to realize the things that God has provided for us. And so we're going to just thank him. We stand before him and we're praying and we're thanking him for being so mindful of us, for being so gracious to us, for looking at our lives and realizing that there were many times he done everything he could to try to get to us, but we were so busy doing other things and involved in other too many things. But how long has God yearned to take us and to be the God that he wants to be to us? There have been moments that we've seen the hand of God do amazing things. We've seen that. We've seen the grace of God just perform in our lives time and time again. And I'm telling you, there's nothing like being in his presence, honoring him and giving him the glory that he deserves, recognizing who he is and what he's done for us. And there's nothing that's ever happened on this planet that's ever been greater than when God gave his only son. When he gave us the Messiah, Christ in us, that hope. And have we really, truly honored him? Have we really set aside a time to acknowledge him? We need to think about that. Have we really done that? And so these are the areas that we've been looking at, and we're going to take some time as we pray, we sit. I want you to take some time and realize that what sets before us is just a way to have us come together in fellowship, something we can recognize what the Lord has done for us, recognizing it, honoring him, and thanking him for being so good to us. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much. I'm asking you, Lord, that you would oversee this entire event, this day that you have selected, a day that you have picked, that we could recognize and honor you with everything that's in us, that we can look back at what the text says. We can rehearse it in our hearts. God, one of the saddest things is that for many of us, we've been in church for a long, long time. And there'll be many at this table that's never really heard the story, doesn't even know how it all falls out, how we had a kinsman redeemer who redeemed us. There's a lot of other things that are known. And some of our children here can recite those things. And for that, God, we're sorry. We ask you to forgive us that we haven't taken the time to recognize and to honor and to give glory to you. But Lord, we have participated. We have given ourselves over to things that are nothing more than traditions of men and not what you have prescribed for us in your word. And so, Lord, we honor you this day and we thank you. And God, we want to go back over the text, go through the scripture and look at it and clearly see what it is, Lord, that you require of us. And so, Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you, Lord, for our time together. We thank you, Lord, for the meal that's before us. We thank you for it, Lord. We know that you provide. You provided everything for us, and we're grateful for it. And I just pray, Lord, that in the lives of every person that's here, that you would just do wonders. Amazing things will happen, Lord. Things that have hung on to people for a long time. Just things that they struggle with. Lord, those things are going to submit to your word. They're going to fall. They have no choice, Lord, but to submit to the authority of your word. And I just thank you for it, Lord. I thank you, God, that from this day forward, our lives are going to be amazingly different. And I honor you for that, Lord. I thank you, God, that you've given us this opportunity to come and spend this time together. Open up our hearts, Lord. And if there be any here, Lord, that cries out to you, I ask you, Lord, that you hear our cry. So we cry out to you for your mercy and your grace, Lord. We thank you for it. We honor you. And we give you the thanks, Lord, for what has been provided for us today. We give you glory in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. And amen. Thank you, Lord. Well, take your seat. We're going to have fellowship. Talk to each other. Enjoy each other. Say hi to one another. If you're facing that away, you can see the one in the back, and there's one in this away. I'll be behind some of you, but just excuse me talking behind you. But I want to just go over a couple things with you that I went over a little bit with you. But I want to keep going over this with you as some reminders. One of the verses of Scripture that I think is of importance for us to understand, and I'd been studying this for quite some time. About 3 years ago, the Lord, I went off and spent some time, and I stayed gone for, I think it was 6 weeks. It was 5 or 6 weeks that we were gone, and I started going over the scripture and the text and you know, I've been in and around church all my life, and I've had good relationships with people and some bad relationships. And I'd asked the Lord, I said, God, you know, no matter what I'm doing, no matter what's going on in Ireland, we went through Katrina, all that stuff, and I said, but there's something that's just not coming together. And I said to the Lord, it could just be me. Maybe it's me. But nonetheless, if it is me, then you need to show me that. I need to know. So I took that time. We spent some time just talking about it. Me and Charlotte talked about it. And we were seeking the Lord, praying, and having some time before God. And just begin to ask the Lord, if everything that we're supposed to be doing, we're doing it, then why is it the way it is? Why is it happening the way it's happening? What's the reason behind it? What should we be doing? Because I can tell you, if you look at the church, what is called the church today, what's called Christian, there's about over 2 billion so-called Christians in the world today. And we might say, well, you know, I'm not one of them, and they're not. And we've done that. We've had such a separation and a division in what we call the so-called Christian world. And we're wondering why we're not winning. And this is what people have done. They're winning in their little circle. And we think we're doing something. But what we're is we're a part of not just the little circle, we're a part of the body. And when one part of the body suffers, the whole thing suffers. And so what I've been, the Lord dealt with me about, not a lot of people wanted to hear it. It's not very popular because we all feel like we're right in our own way. And I said to the Lord, I said, you know, I might be right about some things, but I'm pretty sure that there's some things, some areas that I'm probably not. And if you'll show me those areas, I'll make those corrections. Because who am I to not humble myself before God and say, Lord, I could be wrong. I could be wrong about these things. But from what I can tell and what I've seen happens in society, in the Christian society, what we call Christian, is that if the majority's doing it, we accept it as a godsend. And that's what happened when we seen the church. There were church explosions that happened. There was movements that happened, and it's just an all appearance. This is it. This is it. This is it. And when it was it, everybody would jump on it and go for a while, and then it would always come to seem like it would peak, or we'd have some fall. Somebody who was up there, I mean, had won the heart of the people, won the hearts of the people, and was doing great. And all of a sudden, they wind up running off with somebody else's wife. And stuff like that. And I'd put all that into question. And I'd go, God, what is going on? And I'm talking about Holy Ghost filled. Could jump a pew faster than anybody in this room. So we're not talking about what I would consider, when we've seen it, we made this with church playing. We were talking about this was the real cream. This was it. And then we see ministries that explode, and we see the prosperity, the whole thing, everything. I just put it all on the table. And the Lord, and I played this for you Thursday night or so ago. And the Lord began to deal with me about the truth. And I was reminded of a movie. And that movie was A Few Good Men. Anybody ever seen that movie, A Few Good Men? And there's two guys in there. One of them's Tom Cruise, and the other one is Jack Nichols. And there's some court case, and they're both in the military. And he says, I want the truth. And he says, you can't handle the truth. And I want to ask you that. Can we really handle the truth? Because it upsets our traditional basket big time. It upsets it, shakes it all out, and we got back to start over. And one of the things that I brought up here a couple of weeks ago was how we celebrate this time of the year. How we just jumped on the boat, and we've been cruising along, and it's happening. And I'm not talking about the world, because if you notice, the world celebrates all these traditions, and they love it. These so-called Christian traditions that we celebrate, the world celebrates them, but no problem. But there's nobody sitting down at a table like this talking about the kinsman redeemer. They don't want to celebrate that. You ever wondered why? You ever wondered why they don't want to celebrate it? Because it don't fit anything that they believe. But this other stuff, it can fit about anything. It fits in any type of denomination, any type of church. It just kind of fits in there and kind of wiggles its way. And it's so pliable. And it's got, you can massage it and you can move it and you can make it smooth and it just fits everywhere. And I said, you know, there's something not right with that. And the way we celebrate what we call the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, the Messiah, the Anointed One, the way we celebrate that, something's not right. And so this is why I brought that topic up. And when I brought it up, obviously, the reason it's not brought up in a lot of churches is because church numbers would begin to divide. That's exactly what would happen. And we don't want that. We're too busy running a business. And that's what church has become. So I can buy my next automobile, my next fancy house, or my next jet. And that's the reality. We may not want to talk about those things, but that's the reality. If you look at church, and with us, when it's on the news, it's speaking to you. But not me. That ain't me. I don't run in that circle. But listen, we can talk about what circle we run in all we want. We call ourselves Christian, and they call themselves Christian. What are we going to do about that? Well, let me tell you, not saying nothing, I don't think we're fit for the kingdom. We got to stand up and just say it, and just it is what it is. But we can't just say what we want. We better go back to the scripture and we got to find out where did we miss it? Where did we miss it? And correct those things. And I run a poll, right? I took a poll with our children. And we ask our children, what does Easter mean to you? Well, our children said, well, candy, bunny rabbits, and eggs. That's what our kids are saying. Now I asked the adults, and you know the response I got? The resurrection. Okay? Because you got over that other stuff already. But we're not teaching our kids right. They're not knowing the truth. So not one of them said that this time of the year is to celebrate when the kinsman redeemer, the lamb was slain, Jesus, our Savior and our Lord, he was taken and he was crucified. Not one of them said that. You see where we are now? I'm going to ask you this question. What if I ran that poll in other churches around the country? You think I would get the same response? Do you? Is that okay? Are we okay with that? And so we have to be careful that we can get here and we can have our messages to our congregation and we can say, listen, but if we're involved in those type of things, your message is weakened no matter how great you think you can preach. It's weakened. Because where is your standard? Where's your line and where you say, I'm not doing that. Not me and my house. As for me and my house. Now, we've done that in things. In other places, we've done that. But when it comes to mainstream tradition, when it comes, I'm talking about church, we're afraid. We really are. And we'll pull back because we don't want to upset the congregation. We don't want that. We don't want no waves in the church. We already got other issues to deal with. We're just going to keep on celebrating these things. I'm going to ask you this question. Do you believe we can worship God in vain? Do you believe that there's a possibility? Because he says in the Word, we look at it, and he said in Matthew 15, he said, but in vain they do worship me. That's what he said. In vain they do worship me. Now, what teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. Teaching for doctrine the commandments of men. And we have to be careful that we're not in that. I want you to understand that Easter is clearly a doctrine that's from man and not God. Clearly. So I want to know, so when we do Easter, right, we're saying, I'm just celebrating the resurrection of Christ. To me, that's what it means. Well, guess what? Let me just help everybody out tonight. It don't matter what it means to you. It matters what it means to him. And we gotta make sure that we take that into consideration. It's not how you perceive it. It's what God thinks about it. Remember, we're not pleasing each other. We're not to please one another and say, oh, don't worry about it. We don't need to just be yes men amongst our congregation. And I told you this before. If your pastor is out of line, you come tap me on the shoulder and say, that is not in the Word of God. It doesn't say that. And we have to make sure that we're doing that. Listen, you can worship God in vain. He said, for they worship me in vain, teaching for doctrine what men say is right. And Easter is not from God. Okay? There's one Bible, I think I've been through quite a few of them, but in the King James Version, and that's the Bible I've studied in all my life. But there's one text in there that mentions Easter. How many familiar with that in the book of Acts? James was taken. You remember James? And they killed him with the sword. And the people were happy. So what did Herod do? He was so excited that it made the people please. He took Peter. And he was going to go do the same to Peter. But then it mentions that word there. But Easter was there. The word is used Easter. But that's a mistranslation. What it should be. It's mentioned 28 times in the New Testament. Every time it's mentioned, it's translated as Passover, right? Except for that one. How many think that might be a problem? Right? That might be an issue there. So I'm saying that the Gnostics were around way back then. Gnosticism was creeping in. Plus we were talking about a whole world full of Gentiles who wasn't used to those things that God handed down through Moses and all. They weren't used to their terminology, but they were coming to become Christians. The Word of God was going forth, and they were coming to become Christians, but what they brought with them were their traditions, and the strength of the Christian was being overwhelmed almost by these traditions of men, and slowly but surely they have crept in the church, and it is where it is today. And I'm telling you, we have drifted very far, and we have to be careful. Now, I would be mentioning this. Naturally, you're going to get responses, right? And we've had our responses from the church family. And I encourage you to get your Bibles, go through it, and look at the pagan roots of Easter. And I gave you all this on last Thursday, how you can start in the beginning with Noah. And Noah, God cleaned slate, right? He cleaned it all up. But Noah has a son named Ham. And Ham has a son named Cush. And Cush has a son named Nimrod. And you go through the scripture. These are all texts that we can read. Maybe you've read them before, but I encourage you to go back and look at these pagan roots. Nimrod married a woman by the name of Semiramis. And it's things start. Now listen, in this Ishtar is known as Ashtaroth, Osteria. It's many names. Every culture from Babylon, which started with Nimrod, that he set up the Babylon. Babel? How many have heard of Babel? He set that up all the way to Rome. So if we look at the Nebuchadnezzar statue, how many is familiar with the Nebuchadnezzar statue that he sees the gold and the silver and the, and if we look at that, all those kingdoms, every one of those kingdoms had an Easter. And I know it's hard to get an amen because you're going, huh? That's how far the church has drifted. We so busy trying to figure out who got more Holy Ghost. We letting this stuff creep in. Our children are growing up, and you ask them about Easter, and they say it's about bunny rabbits and Easter egg hunts. They don't know nothing about the Passover and the kinsman redeemer. Shouldn't our children know that? Listen, please somebody tell me, go on, sit down, because I'm way out of line. But I don't, listen, it's been very difficult for me to sleep at night because of this. And God, listen, my rest won't come until I do what God's told me to do. And I have to be obedient to the things of God. And that's what I plan on doing. Let me just tell you this. So what God institutes is put on hold. This is what most of people say today. And I'm talking about church folks. I'm talking about ministers of the gospel. They'll say, well, brother, and I've had this told to me. I've had it told me directly, and I've had it told to me indirectly. Well, brother, that stuff's over with. Jesus came and he fulfilled everything. We don't have to worry about nothing. And I said, really? So you mean to tell me because he fulfilled it, we should still celebrate pagan holidays? You see, you can come up with that, and that's a topic all its own. But when are we going to deal with the issue that we have worshiped the Lord in vain? Because we come and we celebrate, we put our fancy clothes on that Sunday, and we come and we're participating in something that's celebrating to a pagan God. We have worshiped him in vain. Now, I don't know, listen, I know it's not popular. I can tell you that. I knew it wouldn't be. And I wrestled over this for 3 years. I wrestled over this. Not to mention a lot of other things. But this is the time for it to happen. You know what? We should have events like tonight. This was a simple thing. All week, I was just praying, just weeping before God. And I said, God, what would you want? What would you want? And I'm so out of touch with any. You know why? Because I never grew up doing this. I never grew up having a special time set aside where we get together as a church family and we're looking at each other and we're taking part in something that we can, everything that was on that table, you could tell a story about. And it's real stuff. It's real stuff that our kids can, and we think, well, they just can't wrap their mind around that. We need to make it colorful. Are y'all here? We need to paint it up. We need to have it a little cuddly, and tasty. And that's the only way they're going to get it. I want to tell you that the children, literally the children of Israel, they didn't have that. And they grew up generation after generation. And it might have never been everybody, but I thank God there was somebody who said, we're going to worship the Lord our God, and him only we're going to serve. And there was a reason they had that, because it was handed down to them because they followed what God put in the scripture. So then I brought to your attention the text in Genesis. He said he put these things in place for seasons. And I'm going to read that verse for you. He said, and God said, let there be light in the expanse of the heavens. That's Genesis 1:14. And to separate day from night, and let them be for signs and for seasons, for days and years. The word season there, when you're reading with a Western mind, you're going to say, well, God put that up so we can have four seasons. Four seasons. No, we don't need four seasons yet. Why? Because the earth that he's creating is perfect. There's no sin. You don't have bad weather. The word season there is moedim. It's where we get the appointed time. How many know God has an appointment that he sets? A time that we're going to meet with him. Again, the word is moedim. You can look it up. Get your Strong's, go to it, look it up, study all around, but it means the appointed time. So what does he put that out there for? He says, so you can see this. Now, it's going to come. It's not happening yet, but God knows what he's doing. There's nothing that surprises God. Can you surprise God? Can you shock God? No, he knows. So he's putting that in place because this is going to be my appointments. So these things out there. So how many know that last time you looked in a nice clear sky, how many's ever seen a moon before? How many's ever seen the stars? How many ever seen in the daytime a sun, a big sun? You've seen those things. Well, listen, we have a calendar. We don't hardly spend no time trying to read the sky, right? But how many know in those days they were going to do it? He knew they were going to do it. He put it out there for them to do it. But they had to know when God's appointment was. And so that is where the Moedim, or the season, that's what that word there is. So it's not four seasons. So don't think that. That's what we do. We read with a Western mind. We say, oh, well, right there, he created winter, fall, summer, you know, in spring. He created, but he put these things in there for appointments. That's what they were there for. They're not for us to try to read somebody's future, see who they are. The world take and do what they want with it, but that's for us to know when God's about to do something. And so I want you to keep that in mind. And again, we'll help everybody that needs the help with it. And listen, I can't ask for a better response than I got. It's not going to sit well with everybody, right? But it's just the way it is. But the response was like, you know, we got to do something. Well, let me just go over a few verses with you. Exodus chapter 11. Let me read a few things to you. I'm going to go through these fairly quick. If you got a pen, write these verses down. If not, you can get it off the web, or you can download the slideshow. I think we can put the slide. This one might even be up there because I'm using a slide of something that when I came back off my trip, this is not something I just put together. I ain't put another slide in here. What I did, I went back and looked at what God revealed to me a couple years ago. And then what I did, this is old. And this is what it was. Now the Lord said to Moses, one more plague I will bring on Pharaoh and on Egypt after that he will let you go from here. When he lets you go, he will surely drive you out from here completely. Speak now in the hearing of the people that each man ask from his neighbor and each woman from her neighbor for articles of silver and articles of gold. Now, let me see. I want you to understand that right there, and you might not think it's significant, but God, how many know God will give favor to you? But listen, you can't get favor because you know God can give favor. I don't think anybody heard that. I'm going to say it again. God can give favor to you, but you can't get favor because you know God can give favor. Favor is done by God's appointed time. This is appointed time. Now, let me ask you a question. While the children of Israel were in Egypt all this time for over 430 years, could God give favor all those years?
Yes.
Yeah, he could have given favor anytime he wanted. God can give favor when he wants. The children of Israel saw the favor of God before. But in this particular time, they've been through the whole Joseph experience. Anybody ever read about Joseph's favor? They've been through that. But here, God says, okay, here's what we're going to do. Now, there's a reason he's going to do that. Because the time has come. The appointed time has come. He says, you go to the neighbors. Now when they're going to, who's their neighbors? Anybody know who their neighbors are? It's the Egyptians. And so they go out and speak, and the Lord gave the people favor in the sight of who? The Egyptians. Furthermore, the man Moses himself was greatly esteemed in the land of Egypt, both in the sight of Pharaoh's servants and in the sight of the people. This is what God, how many want God to do it?
That's right.
But it's appointed time. And we're about to learn that. Moses said, thus says the Lord, about midnight I'm going out in the midst of Egypt, and all firstborn of the land shall die, from the firstborn of Pharaoh who sits on his throne, even the firstborn of the slave girl who's behind the mill stone, all the firstborn of the cattle as well. Moreover, there shall be a great cry in all the land of Egypt, such as there has not been before, and such as shall never be again. But against any of the sons of Israel, A dog will not even bark, whether against man or beast, that you may understand how the Lord makes a distinction between Egypt and Israel. Can God make a distinction? Amen? He can make a distinction. Now, how many would see that it's a problem when God's making a distinction, or we're saying He is, God's going to make a distinction on us if we constantly celebrate in pagan holidays? Just saying. Let's just do this. How many ever tried anything in your life? No, you never done it, but you want to try it. And you tried it with this thing. You said, if it's good, I'm on board. If it's not, I'm not going to do it again. Anybody ever do that? Listen, at a minimum, I'm asking you, why don't we say, you know what? I don't care what nobody thinks. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Why don't you try it? Why don't we just try celebrating God and making it a big deal every year? This was nothing. You come next year at this time. This is nothing. We ought to make it a big deal. And our neighbors ought to know about it, and our community ought to know about it. Do you understand what I'm saying? Listen, you know why I believe this is a time. It's time. I'm so glad He didn't come back when I was not getting this. It's time. And what is He going to do at that time? He said, I'm going to make a distinction between you and them. I'm going to give you favor. And you just go knock on their door, tell them I need all your money. Glory to God. You know what we got today? We got guys like Creflo Dollar saying, send me more money so I can buy a jet. I'm just going to say what it is. It's absolutely ridiculous. Can God distinguish? Can He set us apart with those type of comments coming out of our mouth? He can't do it. And listen, that's my brother in the Lord. I don't care how we slice it. Do you hear what I'm saying? But I'm telling you, it don't matter where everybody thinks they are on a scale. What matters is whoever's on that scale, will he speak the truth? If you speak the truth, then God will abase everyone that has elevated himself, and He will lift up those who said, I'm just going to get on the riverbank of the Mississippi, get my feet in some mud, and say, you know what? Let God be true and every man be a liar. There's no way that's right. Listen, I know we're just celebrating the fact that we got a kinsman redeemer. But I'm feeling it tonight. I've been feeling it all week. I've been getting up in the middle of the night feeling it. Because I know what I'm about to walk into. God's going to make a distinction between them and me. Are you ready for any of this? Some of you, you know you need it. And we've been trying our best. And some of you, you know you're faithful to do what you're supposed to do with your money, and you still seem to come up short. Come on, is God that blind that He can't see? Listen, He's not a man that He should lie, nor the son of man to repent of anything. I'm telling you, there's something else wrong, and we just got to clean the slate, and we got to repent before God and say, God, we're not doing it. And is it going to be easy? No, it's not going to be easy. But it's something that we need to do. Is everybody hearing this? Yes. I'm so excited about this because of what God's going to do. The 10th plague is known as the death of the firstborn. We already had that happen in the garden. In the garden. No, I don't care how we want to look at it. Adam, we're from him. Everybody say, I'm from Adam. That's why you ought to be doubly more thankful than you ever been before that there's a second Adam. That's a kinsman redeemer. Somebody got to redeem the firstborn. Somebody got to do it. And I'm so glad that our Messiah... Woo! I just weep over this. And I can't understand how folks are just going through the motion. Can't wait for Easter to come around so we can do have a party or something. And I'm weeping over the fact that I have a kinsman redeemer who redeemed the firstborn. Amen. The lamb slain for me and you. That's what we're celebrating. And we ought to celebrate it. And listen, the reason why folks have been offered, well, brother, we're not under that no more. We under the grace. You understand? And let me tell you, that's so far from preaching the scripture, it ain't even funny. And that's a whole nother series. If we want to talk about Christ fulfilling it, Paul said this. He said, we're not from the leaven, but we're to come and celebrate in sincerity and truth. We were being sincere at this table in truth, but we were recognizing. Let me tell you this. Let me tell you this. And listen to this carefully. This will help you. You can tell this to anybody you want. Christ is the root. And now, no, you, this gonna listen. I don't. You're gonna have to tumble the Bible upside down, in and out, and rip some pages out for me not to believe that. Christ is the root of what I am in Him. But what I celebrate is the fruit. I've been having some stuff growing on my tree that ain't recognizing the root like it should. Christ is the root, but what I celebrate is the fruit. And I don't think we're showing the right fruit. If I'm doing the same thing as the pagans are doing, that can't be the right fruit. No way it can be. So I don't want y'all to get me wrong and say, oh, Pastor Jesse, he's going back to the law. No, I don't have to go back to the law. I ain't never left the law. Why? Because I studied the law. But I thank God for the grace, because Christ is the root of my salvation. He is it. I can't get it by the law. I got it through the kinsman redeemer. But the sad thing is, with him being, I'm going around saying, oh yeah, it's in Christ. It's in Christ. I got the Holy Ghost. It's in Christ. Man, I speak in tongues. It's in Christ. And my fruit is looks like Easter. Good Friday. Hot cross buns. Bunny rabbits. You get where I'm coming from? Lent, Ash Wednesday, Fat Tuesday, Spring Break. All those things are nothing but pagan ideas. Can I worship God in vain? Think about that. He said, for you have worshiped me in vain, teaching for doctrines of the commandments of men. Do you know that Easter was not recognized as a legal holiday in America until the 1800s, 1870? Go study your history. If you was caught celebrating it, you was arrested in USA. Because, you know, in Europe, they had been doing it for quite some time. So you go, and the internet's full of stuff to learn if you want to learn. You know, technology can't be just used for an evil way. You know, God's the one, He created man. There's some things you can learn. There's some, you know, books that I can't never get to. I can't buy. I can find them online, and you can read the books. You can read them. I don't have enough a library to hold all of the books, but you can access these information. You can access the church fathers, so-called church fathers in the Nicene Creed in 325, and they decided, okay, here's what we're doing. This is Constantine, the Pope, first Pope. He says, we're going to make this the most holy week. And we're going to say, we've been killing Christians for a long time now, and the more we kill, because Christian definition back then was a whole lot different than it is now. Let me tell you, that definition, it's completely different. He says, so what we'll do is, why don't we just merge together, and we're gonna bring it so close, they'll go for it, we'll go for it. So we have the Reformation, right? And then the Protestants went their way, and the Catholics went their way. So we got Catholicism and Protestants, and now they're at it. And let me tell you, it's been fed to everybody. It's been fed. Will Durant said this, and I think I'm not a big fan of all of his literature, but he's a renowned historian. He said, "Why Christianity converted the world converted Christianity." Think about that statement. I'm just wondering what he was looking at. I'm wondering what he was seeing in his time. While Christianity converted the world converted Christianity. And we adopted those pagan ideas. And then we went on into, let me see your hand, everybody in here who celebrated Easter, period. I don't tell me you, so I didn't mean that to me. You just celebrated Easter. We all did, right? So listen, we know that. But just so we know that God doesn't accept that pagan worship. He doesn't accept that. We can't worship God in a pagan way. He said, I hate that stuff. And that's exactly what was happening. What about sunrise services? That'll really put a Christian veneer on it, right? That really will. I mean, that paints Christ right on the top of it. Sunrise services. Anybody ever hear that? That's a pagan idea. You remember in Ezekiel? He said, you think you saw something bad? Come see this. He looks at his 25 men with their backs to the altar and their face to the sun. God said, I hate that. And we, you know how many times people get up for sunrise services? Huh? Let me tell you. When God designed the tabernacle, which way did he face the gate that they had to enter in? It's to the east. Because your face ought to be toward God and your back to anything that can remotely think it's God. And so what the men did, they faced the east with their backs to the altar. He said, look at that abomination. And we get up sunrise services. I don't think we should be doing that. Are we having us a sunrise service, Pastor? No. See, no, we're not. What about Good Friday? No. You see, and so that's what happens. We have to be careful. That's all pagan ideas handed down all the way from Nimrod. Semiramis, Tammuz. You remember Tammuz? He was supposed to, when he got killed by a wild boar at 40 years old. So now we celebrate 40 days, a day for every year he was old, 40 days of Lent came from that. And so Tammuz, when he died, so says, I don't know if y'all ready for this, blood come out of him on a stump of an evergreen. And overnight, the tree grew up. We'll deal with that later on. We got to get our heads going one way. Think about it. So all of us, he's supposed to be an immaculate conception child. All of those, and it was so many details to go into. I hope you got the point. The point is, you know what? At some point, we got to say, we're not doing that. And so this is what, let me go to some of these slides. No, I'm going to skip a bunch of them, and then we're gonna find a place to stop, okay? I want to go to and I will finish this for you. We're going to continue this on Sunday. And I have a whole nother slideshow already done for that. But let me find a spot. Okay, go to that 28. Instructions regarding Passover. Everybody say Passover.
Passover.
Say it again.
Passover.
Come on, say it one more time.
Passover.
That's the most you've ever heard that in a church service in a long time.
Amen.
That's a Jew. Nobody says Jewish.
Yep.
How many of them, how many tribes they had in Israel? How many were Jewish?
Two
tribes. What would the rest? He says, if they sojourn with you. Listen, I don't know about, I'm a sojourner. I'm sojourning. And I've accepted the ways of Almighty God. That's what he said they had to do. If they sojourn with you, if they're an alien, that as long as they do what I'm telling you needs to be done, I'm accepting them. I'm talking about God is amazing. He did that for me. And he wants to do it for you. So keep that in mind. So don't have anybody tell you, well, we're not going to observe Passover because that's a Jewish thing. Let me tell you, I'm having a difficult time using the term Christian. I really am. I really have a difficult time using it because of what it means to people in our society today. It's absolutely crazy what it means to people today. And just anybody can be Christian. It's Christian, 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 Christian. And it's something. I mean, how many just want to be a child of God?
Amen.
How many calling you Father every day? Every day. You call him your Father? You should. Our Father. Is he your Father? He's my Father. Who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Isn't that amazing?
Yes.
So think about that. Now, Deuteronomy chapter 16, verse 1. This is what we'll, and then we'll go to how it connects to Christ, and then we'll close. Observe the month of Abib. Abib. Now we call it, a lot of times they'll do Nisan. Right? That's another way to say that, but Abib. Or Aviv. It's also known as that. Celebrate the Passover to the Lord your God in the month of Abib. The Lord your God brought you out of Egypt by night. So that's the instructions that we have. And then on the 14th of Abib at twilight, the lamb was to be killed. Verse 6. The word twilight is something that's interesting, and it means between the two evenings. So our calendar that we use and the one that the Bible's written by is not the same. How many understand that? Between the two evenings. So when do we say that we have a new day? When is our new day?
12 midnight.
At 12 midnight, right? And then so we got... then 12 a.m. starts a what?
A new day.
A new day. On the scriptures calendar that we're looking at here, the first of the year is Abib. So that's the first month of the year. On the 14th day, he said this is when this is going to happen. On the 14th day of Abib. And it's between the two evenings, and the way it works here is at 6 p.m. to 6 a.m. is your days. So keep that in mind just as we look at it. The time is a springtime, and the way you know it, it's the first of the barley harvest. So right now, we're in what?
Spring.
We're in our springtime right now. And it's the first of the barley harvest. And we know that we can talk calendars, that's a whole nother subject on what we should go by, but there are indicators, and there are four strong indicators in the scripture, and one of them, it's hard to get around, and that's the barley harvest. I mean, there it is. It's either there or it's not. The grain's ready or it's not ready. And if you take the grain when it's ready, how many know God, I don't care what man's doing, I don't care what's going on in our environment, if God wants the grain ready, it's ready, because and it's going to line up with what he's put out. What did he use out for us to see? We have the sun, we have the moon, the constellations. He said, I put that out there for times, for days, for seasons, for appointments. And so he's just getting them ready. This is what you're going to do. So we already have... him explaining to them this Passover lamb. The Passover was to take place in the first month of the year. The first month. Everybody say first month.
First month.
So when is Passover supposed to be taken?
First month.
Now, I want to just give you this as a little side note. With the Passover being taken, there's an exception to do it on a different month. One is if you come in contact with a dead body or your traveling arrangements don't work out for you to get where you need to be for the Passover, you can take that on the 14th day of the second month. The 14th, and that's significant when we look at the full study. And we're going to get to that probably in 2 or 3 weeks from now. We're going to get to that, but I wanted to mention that to you. You can go home and look that up. Start studying it. Go continue to read in Deuteronomy. You'll see that there's a second month. Because they came to him and says, we can't come and do the Passover because we came in contact with a dead body. He said, okay, go to God and find out what to do. God, what we need to do? He said they can still take it on the second month of the 14th day. So there's believe me, we need that one. We'll get to that teaching. We need that part. God is good. Amen? The whole assembly, let's see, the third one. You shall take the lamb without blemish, right? Without blemish. Your lamb shall be an unblemished male, year old, and you may take it from the sheep or from the goat. That's verse 5. Number 4, the whole assembly shall kill it at twilight. The whole assembly shall kill it. There it is. On the 14th day of Abib at twilight, the lamb was to be killed. And just keep that in mind between the two evenings. So I put the calendar. You can go past that. I'll give them to them later. That just shows 6 p.m., 6 a.m. And there's between the two evenings on the 14th and the 15th. That's some of the things that I covered with you already. No bone shall be broken. How many remember hearing that? You can't go get the broken leg. God, you know, the lamb with the broken leg, give that one to God. God wouldn't accept it. He wasn't looking for the weak animals. He wanted the best they had. So, let's see. Go to that start slide in 54. And then I'm going to give these a couple things about Jesus. I mean, thank God for the kinsman redeemer.
That's right.
Well, listen to this. On the Passover was to take place on the first of the month of the year. Jesus entered Jerusalem on the 10th of Abib, the first month of the year, on the 10th. So when are they supposed to possess the lamb? He says, he says, you take the lamb, possess it on the 10th, and keep it for 4 days. What's that? The 14th day. So the lamb is slaughtered, the Passover lamb is slaughtered on the 14th in the evening, between the two evenings. So when did they take Jesus? They took him on the 14th day. Jesus was taken. Everything matches throughout the text. It matches completely through. And it amazes me that it matches and it's such a wonderful picture of our kinsman redeemer. And yet when a time comes to celebrate what we quote call the resurrection, nobody in what we call the Christian church, because we're not Jewish, celebrates the Passover. Why? We're not under the law, brother. We're under grace. What in the world does that have to do with recognizing the fact that our kinsman redeemer redeemed us? Let me tell you this. We're also not under a pagan system, but we do that. That's a good answer for you. How we do that? There ain't no scripture says do that. But there are many scriptures telling us about the Passover, and we just forgot about it. I hope you're hearing this. And I know some of you, you have to share this with your family and your friends. But you got to start somewhere. We got to start somewhere. Are y'all here?
Yeah.
On the 10th of Abib, take possession of the lamb, keep it 4 days. And that's when Jesus was on the 10th of Abib. Jesus, the Lamb of God, is kept in possession by the Jews for 4 days. Matthew 21, 1 through 3, 10 through 11. His triumphal entry. From this point, Jesus would remain in their midst for 4 days. You can get these online too. When he had approached Jerusalem, he came to Bethpage and the Mount of Olives, and all of them scripture there. We don't have time to go through all of them, but I'm giving them to you so you can go back and read them. They're so important to read and understand. You remember, you shall take a lamb without blemish? During the 4 days, Jesus, the Lamb of God, was tested by the Jews and was found to be unblemished. They tested him. He was unblemished. And so these are all just things that they're identical when you look at them. I want to give you this verse of scripture in 1 Peter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18 and 19. Knowing that you were not redeemed with perishable things like silver or gold from your futile ways of life inherited from your forefathers, but with the precious blood as a lamb unblemished and spotless, the blood of Christ. How many thank God for that? It's absolutely amazing. This is the stuff we ought to be teaching our children around this time. We ought to have a time to celebrate that. The whole assembly shall kill it at twilight. Jesus, the death of Jesus was ordered by the whole assembly of Israel. On the 14th of Abib, Jesus, the Lamb of God, was killed at twilight. At twilight. I'll give you one more. The 14th of Abib at 9 a.m. He's crucified. The 14th of Abib at 12 p.m. Darkness covers the whole land for an hour, for 3 hours. The 14th of Abib at 3 p.m., he died. Jesus endured a six-hour crucifixion, died between the evenings of the 14th and the 15th of Abib. Now, again, these are things that you can go and just look. And there are many variations of this. I just put that there for you so you can go look, research your scripture, get you some concordance, get you some your Strong's, anything you use in the study with, and you can go and look at these things and see that we can't have, let me just put it to you this way. How many's ever heard of Good Friday? Anybody? What's the one sign? When people want a sign, what's the one sign he said that you're going to get? Jesus said this. He said, the only sign you're going to get is the sign of Jonah. Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of the fish. So shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. Now, you count from Friday to Sunday morning and tell me how you're getting 3 days and 3 nights in there. But we follow that. We got to quit that. The church should be leading. If we're going to teach the history of the scripture, the pagans shouldn't be teaching it ahead of us. And we just took a back seat, and they just, because it's not a, you know, that's more of a Jewish thing. And so we're going to, and so what we do, we invite it right into our church services, we incorporate it into our church services, and we're wondering why we're not winning. You ever thought of that? You can't win following after those pagan ideas. So we call it Good Friday. Why is it called Good Friday for? Because we believe that's the day he died, on Good Friday. There were celebrations, public celebrations here on this peninsula on Good Friday, where they would bring the communion sets out from all the churches and people would line up by the hundreds. We schedule things because we commemorating. No, what you done tonight was commemorating. What you did tonight, that was honoring the Passover. What you do the rest of the week leading up. He said, and after that, we step into what? That week of unleavened bread. It's to recognize they didn't have time for the yeast to rise. He said, well, you put your shoes on your feet. Is anybody ready for God to move for you? Fast. I don't know. I know your situation's been hard, but God heard your cry. So I hear the cry of my people. It's my appointed time. Watch this. On the 14th day, put your shoes on your feet, your staff in your hand, and girt your loins, and eat in haste, because we're about to leave out of here. And by the way, get all the gold and the silver from them. Get it all from them. It's yours. I'm giving it to you. Not one sick was among them. Let me come over here. There was not one feeble among them. I'm expecting from here on out, from the enemy that pursued you up to today, after today, you'll see them no more. Think about that.
Thank you.
The reason why is we get it right. There's got to be a time we get it right. And once we get it right, that enemy that's been after you, it's over. Because what happened? God, my kinsman redeemer, steps in. And he says, I'm going to show you. I've been gracing you. I've been carrying you. And I've been watching over you. And let me tell you, this is nothing against grandma and grandpa and what they did and didn't do. God's grace is way more than Jesse Morris. You understand that? But I'm talking about right now. We still in the race. How many want to win? How many want to say I fought a good fight? How many want to say I kept the faith? Well, there's a lot more to keeping the faith and fighting a good fight than us just giving in to a pagan idea and not standing up in our churches and saying something. Now, this ain't never happened in our church. We might have talked about this and that, pointed our finger at the church down the road saying, we so glad we ain't like them. It's the truth. I hear it all the time from ministers. I'm so glad we ain't not like the Baptists. Lord knows they need it. And they all picking up eggs at the same basket. I mean, come on now. Eating chocolate rabbits at night. Y'all see my point? I mean, who do we think we are? We can't do that. So I hope that this has been somewhat of a help to you. This is a lot to this study. But let me read this last verse of Scripture, John 19. John 19, verse 31. Then the Jews, because it was the day of preparation. Keep that in mind, a day of preparation. So that the body would not remain on the cross on the Sabbath. So when was he killed? On the day of preparation. The day of preparation wouldn't remain because the Sabbath's coming. And they knew that nothing could be done on the Sabbath. So they said, for the Sabbath was a high day. It wasn't a regular Sabbath. It was a special Sabbath, a high day. Asked Pilate that the legs might be broken and that they might take him away. So the soldiers came and broke the legs of the first man and the other who was crucified with him. But coming to Jesus, when they saw that he was already dead, they did not break his legs. How many see that? He was already dead. And this is the scripture, verse 19:36. For these things came to pass to fulfill the scripture, not a bone of him shall be broken. Same thing to do with the sacrificial lamb that they was leading up to Christ. So it's... Let me just clear something up for you. Can we celebrate a biblical Passover today? Can we do it? The answer is no. All right? We cannot celebrate a biblical Passover today. Because that means we'd have to show up in Jerusalem 3 times a year. A priest would have to make the sacrifice on the lamb. It would have to be, how many lamb? Anybody got a lamb at your house? All right. You could buy lambs, but it had to be done at the temple. Is the temple there? Is the temple there? No. So I'm going to ask it again. Could we celebrate a biblical Passover today? No, we can't. But that's not what this is about. Do you understand? So don't get me wrong. Don't make something of this that it's not. You say, well, you're starting a new tradition? No. I'm following the scripture. Years after Jesus had risen and went away, Paul still celebrated the feast days. He still celebrated. There were times they wanted him to stay. He said, I can't stay. I have to go. And this nobody was more devoted than him. That's why I believe that's why God picked him on that road. This man was devoted. But he wasn't just a devoted sinner. He was a devoted Christian. When he was committed to his wrong, he was fully committed to his wrong. But when he was committed to his right and his passion for God, he was fully committed to his passion for God. Sometimes you see that backwards in the church. When it comes to the things of the world, folks will go all out. There ain't no limit on their spending. When it comes to something in the church, I got a dollar. You see what I'm saying? And that's because your heart, you didn't get it yet. You want to be around it. You want to be rubbing shoulders with it, but you're not committed to it. Paul was committed. I don't think I can find anywhere where I don't see that Paul was committed. To the time his life was gone, he was committed. Fought a good fight. I kept the faith. Finished my course. He knew it, too. And he went through some stuff. But he honored the Lord. He didn't celebrate Easter. Ishtar, he would not get involved in the Ishtar worship. It was going on then. It had been going on since Babylon. Listen, how can you be calling Easter celebration of Christ? They were celebrating it thousands of years before Christ was born. Not to mention his death. They were celebrating. So don't try to attach Christ on there and smear his name. I can tell you right now, and I'm going to say this in front, I won't do it ever again, and I've repented of it. And we ought to all repent of it and say, God, I'm not going to be involved in that stuff ever again. The Bible says that in the Old Testament that the children gather wood and the fathers kindle the fire and the women knead their dough to Ashtaroth. Been going on. And we're not doing it. When we knead our dough, it's to Almighty God for supplying our kinsman redeemer. And you can spend some time. Man, let me tell you, me and my son, he was kneading that dough. And I said, son, you got to knead. I'm just reading this stuff. And this is nothing. It's not, I just was on a cookbook. It says that if your dough comes out better, if you knead it 100 times. So he's count one. He said, should we be praying? I'd rather be talking like that with him than talking about something else. You understand? We ought to be able to grow up with our children, and they're so excited, and we get the dye out, and you get that dough there and say, okay, this is our time. It's going to be a great week. I can't wait. And let me tell you, the meal that heals. Are you here? This is every morning. This week, unleavened bread. You get up and you get your listen. Don't just use a little shot glass. Have yourself some juice and spend some time with God. Take 2 sips, 3 sips, and walk around saying, "I'm healed in the name of Jesus. My finances is under this covenant, not that covenant. Under this covenant, my children are lost. They're under this covenant." And I come before, he said, when you come before me, you can't come empty-handed. 3 times a year, all the males had to show up in Jerusalem. That's why we're not talking about trying to duplicate that. We're talking about quit. We can't forget it and have somebody tell us, well, brother, we ain't under the Old Testament, really. What about being under the Bible? That's what I'm going to be under, the Bible, the Word of God. And it's all through the text. And I wish I had time to do it all. But I hope you got the point. And this was, I told y'all, I said, you know what? We're going to do something. I said, we're not going to tell anybody. We didn't say, okay, everybody show up on Thursday night. We're going to have a supper. We didn't announce it. We just said, hey, let's go put something together. Whoever comes, comes. Did y'all see we were putting chairs out? Mm-hmm. Yeah. I made 40 seats. Usually we don't have that many on Bible study. I'm telling you, God's already doing something. I asked the Lord, I said, God, you can just manifest, do whatever you want to do. But I'm talking about healing. I believe without a doubt, healing is taking place on this table. Financial breakthrough, the way God wants it. The way God, let me tell you what the Lord spoke to me. He said, what's happening today in our churches with the prosperity message is no different than the Pharisaic, Sadduceic attitude when Jesus went in Jerusalem at the appointed time and the money changers were there. They were selling the animals at an inflated price because they knew they had to buy them to be right in the covenant. And that's what the men are doing today. They're trying to inflate certain verses of scripture at the cost of people knowing they're in need. I hope y'all heard that. And we ought to start saying that. Not be afraid that we don't, so they don't call me back. That's all right. That's okay. But the truth, you can't handle the truth. That's what I heard when I first asked God about this. And he wasn't kidding. My brain was going like, whoa, what is this? But I'm glad God, that's what he does. He's about truth. And what sets us free? Truth. So I want you to continue to pray about this. Continue to be soft toward it. I'm not trying to start a tradition. I'm not trying to incorporate any type of legal. I hope you hear my heart tonight. I'm not trying to be into some legalism and try to, we got to make sure we have the plates has got to be purple. And clear, glass. Listen, this is for the Lord. I'm celebrating. I'm going to be nice, but it don't have to be. So don't think this is legalism in any way. But I'm going to tell you, you ain't seen nothing yet. Next year, I got a whole year now. I'm going to bring my offering. And we should never present ourselves and accept the kinsman redeemer, which is the Messiah, without bringing an offering to the Lord. He said, that's why he wouldn't do it until the barley, because the people, that was their money. That was their exchange. So why would he do it in a different time? That would be crazy. So he did it in the barley so they can pick the harvest and bring the first fruit. And that's what we're about to go into then. So I want you to keep that in mind. It's all significant. It's all important. We should have never left from it. And we ought to say, God, we're so sorry. Let's all stand. Let's just thank him. I want you to continue to receive. Continue to receive the healing, the breakthroughs from God. Thank you, Father. Father, I thank you for tonight. I thank you for all of the people that's here. I thank you, Lord, without even planning this. What we've seen here was your hand. And God, in any way, if there's anything, Lord, that we need to look at, and by no means, God, do we want to say we got it all figured out, but our heart is open. My mind is available to the anointing of your power and glory to speak into my life. And I submit myself to your word. I submit myself to the authority of your word. And I thank you, Father, for the kinsman redeemer, our Lamb, the Messiah, the long-awaited one that you send for us. We receive that as our sacrifice. And we thank you for that. And I thank you for every person here. We thank you for healings, miracles in our lives. Father, we thank you, Lord, that you see as we present ourselves before you. We honor you and we do this to remember what you did for us. You delivered us out of bondage. We were in bondage, certain death, bondage, but you set us free. You set us free, and I thank you for that. I just thank you, Lord, for everyone that's here. I thank you, Lord, that as we go through this, that you would continually grace us as we work through all of these details, God, that the insight of your word would become so clear to us. And I pray for each family here, God, that as they go out with their family and their children, Lord, that they can realize the importance of this. And God, that you would direct them in a way, that you would just guide them right into that glorious truth. I just thank you for it. I give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. What a great God. Thank y'all so much for coming to the Bible study. We'll see you on Sunday.